Now, friends, as we come back to the little book of Haggai, it's not a profound book. It's a very simple book, but it's a book of action. Things take place in this little book for the very simple reason that life has become complicated and complex to us, and because, very frankly, we don't really face up to the issues. We don't really face the facts. And we're trying to live, many of us, in a hothouse of affluence and indulgence. And we have come through that period. And it might be good for us to be tested in these days to get us down out of the ivory tower in which many of us have been living. And this little book brings us right down to the ground. This prophet Haggai carried around with him a measuring stick, a ruler, a yardstick. He measured off everything because they're going to rebuild a temple and you need to measure things off. And you need to get right down to the earth, right where the rubber meets the road, friends. And so this man has a hammer in one hand and a saw in the other. He's ready to go to work. And my friend, if you're not ready to go to work, Bible study really is not going to help you very much. And if you're not willing to do what God wants you to do, whatever that might be, and God believes in work, this is the gospel of work. Now we saw in this marvelous little book here, first of all, God's challenge to his people in the first 11 verses. They were kidding themselves that they were doing God's will, that the reason they hadn't built the temple, it wasn't because it had cost them something. The reason was that they were just plain lazy. And they covered all of that over, though, with the very pious platitude of saying, well, the time that the Lord's house should be built has not come. It's just not the Lord's will. And God told them to get up off of their haunches and go to work. And he said, haven't you stopped to think of the fact that I'm judging you, the fact that you've had bad crops, and that things are difficult for you, and you can't save anything? You've been blaming all your circumstances. God says, why don't you blame me? I'm the one that sent this to you. I'm trying to wake you up. As we said before, that this man Haggai was an alarm clock. And an alarm clock is not popular. It's not a loving cup by any means. He's waking the people up. And he's asked them, consider your ways. Set your heart on this. And now he tells them that they are actually to get busy. And we have them responding to the challenge. It's very wonderful to see their response here. They do get busy. We are going to see that. There was a charge of conflict of interest, and that was a call to consider their ways. And now there's a command to construct the temple. And it is very simple. Nothing complicated about it. He said, go on up to the mountain and bring wood. You don't expect it to come down to you. The logs won't roll down the mountain to you. You're going to have to go up and go to work. There are so many people today, they're being encouraged by certain ones to look for a miracle in your life. Oh, God's going to deal with you by miracle. No, he's not. I'm here to tell you, he's not. It'd be very easy for someone to have come along at this time and said to them, expect a miracle. God says, go up there and bring down the wood. That's the thing that you're to do. Go to work. There's no easy shortcut to any of this business today. Very frankly, laziness is the reason Sunday school teachers don't succeed. Laziness is the reason preachers don't succeed. Laziness is the reason that people fail in the Christian life. You got to work at it. And I do not think that the Holy Spirit will ever bless laziness. I just don't believe he'll do it. I remember that a fellow in seminary said to the professor one day, he says, Doctor, that book you gave us to read, it is dry. And the professor looked up at him and smiled, and he says, well, the thing you're to do is to dampen it with a little perspiration from your brow. That's the way. You don't expect the Christian life to be handed to you on a silver platter. The miracle comes, my friend, in the work that you do. Go up, bring wood, and build the house. How important that was. And so that was first a charge of conflict of interest, putting God's house second, and theirs was first. Someone has asked me, said, you say that the house of God or God's work should come first and not a man's own home. Isn't that home important? Yes, it is. And how would you measure it? Well, if you're living in a finer house than your church is, you ought to be embarrassed by that. My feeling is that we need to have a place that the unsaved can come to, and a place you'll not be ashamed of. And therefore, it ought to be on the same plane and par with their own home that you live in. And so God called them to consider. Then he gave them a command. He said to them, I want you to go to work. And you have here what Dr. Frank Morgan has called, first, there was the appeal to the mind. He told them there at the very beginning. He says, you say it's not time to build God's house? Well, I want you to think about this. How is it you're living in fine houses? And that was the appeal to the mind. The second was a call to consider. And that was an appeal to the heart. He says, set your heart or lay your heart to this. This was the challenge that God was giving to these people. Set your heart to this. And they were actually not doing that. Now he gives them a command, and that command is an appeal to the will. Go up, bring wood, and build. So simple, so important. Roll up your sleeve. Let's go to work for God today. So many people sitting on the sideline. This is a day of spectator sports. But frankly, it's a day of spectator Christian. They like to sit on the sidelines and see somebody else do it. Many a preacher's being worked to death today. He's called upon to visit all the sick. He does all administration. He's to see about everything. What about you deacons? Why don't you go to work? What about you members of the church? Are you visiting the sick? He's not the one to be. He's to train you to do the work of the ministry. That is the way that it should be done today. And instead of all the burden falling on just a few folk, may I say to you, if you're going to do God's work in the local church, you need to go to work there. It's something that's desperately needed today. May I give this little illustration? In the first pastorate I had after I was ordained, before that, I was just a student pastor, and you never feel like you're really a preacher then. But after I was ordained and put hands on my head, I felt like I really, you know, had arrived. And in this first pastorate, I had a deacon in that church. He came to me, made a special trip out to the study one morning. He said, now, Vernon, I was pastor of the church. I was raised in, they all knew me. That was a good thing and a bad thing, too, by the way. Some of them knew me when, and others knew me and loved me. And some of the best friends I have today are those that were just young people in the church when I was a young person in the church in our teens. And so this deacon came out, and he said, Vernon, he said, now, I can't pray in public. I don't know why, but I can't. In fact, the matter is, he says, I can't speak in public. And he says, don't call on me ever to speak or pray in public. He said, I'll embarrass you and I'll embarrass myself. I just can't do it. I can't overcome it. And actually, tears were in his eyes. But he said, look, anytime anything about this church needs to be done, whether it's to put in a light bulb that is burnt out, or to put a new roof on the church, or to do anything around this place, you call me. And so, you know all I'd have to do after that? I'd call him about something needed repairing or remodeling around the church. And friends, sometimes in less than an hour, a whole crew of men would be out there to do it. And he'd be right there with them. You know, I learned very early that he was one of the most, I should say, valuable members I ever had in a church. He was Haggai. He believed in getting down and doing the work. And do you know that speakers I'd have in and different visitors would say, "My, this church is sure kept up. What a lovely place to come and worship." My friend, you know why? I had a man that couldn't pray in public, and thank God he couldn't, because most churches have too many that do. We need somebody to work, friends. We need somebody to roll up their sleeves and go to work. Actually, this book is too simple to be in God's Word. It ought to be a little bit more complicated. He gave me a sermon here. Go up to the mountain. That's point number one. Bring wood. That's point number two. And build a house. And friends, what can I say about that other than do it? That's all.